Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Patrick Highsmith with us once again. He is the president and CEO of Timberline Resources and a very experienced professional geologist, mining executive with 29 years. Oh, I don't know, maybe it's more than that now, at least 29 years of experience. And he's worked with major household name companies like Rio Tinto, BHP Billiton, Newmont, Pure Energy Minerals, Fortescue, an Australian company. Has worked on more than 250 projects. He's been involved with the financing of various both transactions that he's been involved with. So he's sort of well-rounded in the mining sector from soup to nuts, as they say, or from exploration to production. So it's really good to have Patrick with us today to talk about Timberline Resources. Trades in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. You can buy it in Canada under TBR. 159.7 million shares. Saw this morning selling at about 11 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap between $17 and $18 million. So it's really a microcap stock. It's a microcap stock that is onto, I think, what could be a very exciting story, very exciting exploration discovery. It is a discovery for sure. It's the question now is it got the scale to make it really very valuable? And I think it certainly has the potential too, which is why I'm really happy to own the stock myself and to have it in my newsletter and also, of course, to share this with you. So thanks for joining me, Patrick. Good to have you again.
Good to be here, Jay. Thanks for that introduction.
You bet. So Timberline is exploring what I believe is described as a Carlin-style gold project. Can you quickly describe in lay terms for those not familiar with your project? It's the Eureka project in Nevada. Maybe the characteristics of a Carlin-style gold deposit and explain why they can be of considerable size and some of them are extremely profitable, I know.
Sure, Jay. Timberline, as you say, is a Nevada explorer searching, really focused almost exclusively on Carlin-type gold deposits. And a thing to remember, Jay, about those types of deposits is they occur in several large trends in Nevada. And we are one of those on-trend explorers in the Battle Mountain Eureka trend down near the town of Eureka, for which our project is named. And Carlin-type gold deposits, Jay, are sediment-hosted gold. They're hosted in rocks like limestones, shales, dolomites, and variations thereof. It gets a lot of jargon in there, but those are sedimentary rocks. They have occurred by the fluids reacting with those rocks, Jay, and sort of eating their way into the rocks to make their own porosity and permeability. So these are highly reactive sedimentary rocks that receive these gold-bearing fluids. The gold there is associated very commonly with elements like arsenic. You'll hear us talking about that on videos and in our news releases. The presence of arsenic is a good thing when you're looking for gold, that sort of thing. And I guess to characterize Carlin-type deposits in a couple of sentences, Jay, they tend to be large-scale, kind of consistently mineralizing these rock units over large distances, you know, along these trends. They can yield excellent grades and favorable economics because of their both scale, their size, and their grade. So they're often a target for the major mining companies like Barrick, for instance.
Right. Well, I understand you just finished drilling at Eureka last week and that you are still waiting for all but about four holes. What can you tell us about? Well, I know that you talked to us in September. You actually were on the show September 13th, the day before you came out with some pretty interesting, very, very significant assay results from four holes, the first, I guess, four of 20 that will be reported on. Can you talk about the results from those holes back on September 14th? And then maybe comment on the remaining 16 or so that you're waiting for assays on.
Yeah, just a refresher there, Jay. We did just complete drilling about 7,000 meters. As you say, it's about 20 holes, and we released in mid-September the first four. And you'll recall our project is called Eureka. We do have a 500,000-ounce resource there that was reported under the Canadian 43-101 rule some years ago. But that was a lower grade part of the system, and we've been drilling what we believe to be the down dip sort of roots of that system in a new discovery called the Water Well Zone, which is new. It will be outside in additional to the resource if we're successful there. And the water well zone really got things excited back in the first quarter, Jay, when we announced and around 44 meters of over 4 grams from one intercept, and then we went 400 meters away and we drilled 41 meters of 5 grams in another intercept. And since then, we've filled in and added on, and that most recent intercept or press release that you mentioned, we announced 4 more holes. And I guess the headline there was we drilled one hole with about 23 meters of 4.3 grams per ton, but that included a 7.6 meter run and of 11.6 grams. We had another hole with 18.4 meters of 3.8 grams. That, too, included some high-grade, 3.3 meters of 13.3 grams, Jay. So each of those four holes had significant gold in it. Each of it had the characteristics of this water well zone, this Carlin-type deposit. And they three of the four had had assays 10 grams per ton or better. So we're kind of consistently hitting high-grade, and we're expecting to see some more of that as we finish up the reporting, as we'll probably do more of those releases, Jay, with groups of 4 or 5 holes, mostly around the water well zone over the next few weeks. Probably in the next 2 weeks will be our next release.
Well, certainly as you keep drilling and you keep hitting those kind of numbers, I mean, those are very Carlin-like numbers I think I've seen with some of the other projects. I guess the level of confidence should be increasing in the market, and I'm sure it is with the geologists that are looking at the project. I mean, that's part and partial to the economics of a project. That's something else. And of course, recognition and even getting people to pay attention right now, because gold shares are so unloved at the moment. But I think at some point when things start picking up, people are going to wake up and realize that there's a pretty good probability you're onto something significant here. We'd like to ask you perhaps to comment on the footprint of this whole Eureka project, to give us a sense of the scale, because I know from experience, learning the hard way when I was new in this business years ago, that bigger is better. And for the economics, generally speaking, you have to have the scale because the overhead costs, just putting a mine into production, the time, the all the things that go into putting a mine into production, very costly, very time consuming. So could you give us a sense of what you're looking at, the scale of what you're looking at, and these targets that you've laid out?
Absolutely, Jay. At Eureka, we're playing with the big boys. This one property is 70 square kilometers. We own almost 60% of the claims in the Eureka District. Of course, with our friends to the north at I-80 Gold owning a very important chunk of the northern part of the district, where they have over 9 million ounces of historic production plus resources. The resources alone are about 7.7 million ounces up there. So this is a big district, Jay. It's already sort of a 10 million ounce district. We're a major claim owner there. And really what's exciting, and the audience can see these sort of numbers and these maps I'm going to refer to in our news releases, but also in our presentation. We have, at the Lookout Trend, just one of three intensely mineralized areas where we have drill indicated gold, over 4 kilometers of strike of gold, about 3.7 kilometers in the resource itself. If you include the areas outside of the resource, it stretches for, I think, up to about 6 kilometers of drill indicated gold on that trend. And so, as you say, the footprint is there for a lot of gold along this structure and very little modern drilling, Jay. Sure, in the 80s and 90s, when Nevada was so hot, there was exploration done here, but it was, and that's where most of this drilling came from. But that was just shallow depths. And by that, I mean 100 meters, Jay, super shallow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the water well zone begins at about 140 meters, continues down to about 320 meters so far. So still, comparatively shallow for the big mines in Nevada these days. So we feel like with the footprint we've got so many targets to chase that those early drill indications to greater depths. We've been spending a lot of time sort of validating our model. Do we see the same horizon consistently mineralized over the water well zone? Well, yes, we do. We've been talking about the Dunderberg Shale, for instance, hosting the gold here. It's the same gold unit that hosts a lot of the gold that I-80 Gold has been drilling to the north. It's consistently mineralized along this section for over a kilometer every time we drill it in the guts of the water well zone and beyond. We're hitting gold. And so we've got those earmarks of scale, as you suggest, Jay, that's really important. several kilometers of strike, going down dip to greater depths. We continue to see it. And so fortunately this year, we raised money at 25 cents at higher prices before things sort of softened so much for the summer. So we had a good treasury, Jay. We were able to drill these holes. Sure, the market's been very soft this summer, but we've been able to drill and crank out results, and we'll face the fourth quarter here with lots of news flow. And we didn't have to dilute our shareholders at these lower prices, so we were able to get money at higher prices and do this drilling. So filling in that model, understanding it better, and that really sets us up well for getting these results out. And as you say, we'll watch to see how the market greets the results between now and December. But certainly it set us up to be a busy season in Eureka, continuing right through, as I'm sure I-80 Gold will keep drilling through the winter. I expect that Timberline may well be drilling some in the winter, but certainly drilling hard again in the spring of next year.
Yeah, I-80 Gold, I watch it. It's in my newsletter. I love that stock. I have shares myself. I think you and Downey did a joint video, if I'm not wrong, and you must trade notes with him, I suppose.
Yes, you and the I-80 team are at a different, obviously a very different place than we are. They're developing mines in Nevada, but you and knows, I think, as well as any big developer does, exploration is the pipeline that feeds this mine production. So we hosted a webinar together with Ewan that's probably out there on YouTube for folks to look up, the two of us both talking about our projects. And it's a great way to think about Nevada. You have these big trends, and you, when you're in the right rocks, look at these districts that are the most endowed with a lot of gold, preferably high-grade gold. In this case, Ewan and his team has been drilling silver, high-grade silver, lead, zinc mineralization also. And Timberline has also reported silver, lead, zinc mineralization from the Eureka project. Multiple kinds of mineralization often characterize these world-class gold districts. An older silver event followed by the later Carlin-type gold event kind of mimics what I-80 Gold is seeing to the north. And hopefully we drill grades as good as theirs. They've drilled some bonanza grade stuff, silver, and we haven't yet. But a lot of similarities because, frankly, this Eureka gold belt, Jay, stretches from Timberline's project in the south right through I-80's project in the north, and that's really the corridor of rocks that has been home to all these good drill results from both companies over the last year.
Yeah, you mentioned the silver and base metals, I think silver, lead, zinc. Maybe you have discovered a carbonate replacement system there on your project. Any plans to do anything with that? Are you planning to drill that, or are you just going to stay focused on the gold and try to prove up some significant high-grade resources now?
So far, the shallower high-grade silver occurs on the northern block of our claim. Oh, we'll probably be talking about that in the next quarter. We've done a little bit of prospecting up there, and we'll get those results in and probably report those in the next quarter. But as for drilling, the silver, lead, zinc we've hit so far has kind of been the roots of our system, Jay, not the higher-grade portions. So we see the silver. It's interesting. But we're kind of vectoring from that towards the higher-grade gold as best we can and trying to figure out that relationship. But I suspect that this next round of drilling, we probably will see some silver. And we always like to remind the audience, we are gold explorers. We believe the future of the big mines in Eureka will be gold. However, this silver, when it occurs in these high-grade compact lenses, can certainly yield economic production as well. So we're going to have to see what the rocks tell us, Jay. We're going to have to listen to what the rocks say and what the assays say. But I would say expect to see Timberline hitting some silver, lead, zinc as we get more into the system. We've drilled the southernmost known silver, lead, zinc in the district down here on our project. But we're going to be focusing on that high-grade Carlin-type gold. And who knows, maybe we'll maybe we'll complicate Ewan's life by finding another high-grade silver thing in the camp because I know he loves those type of deposits. So
I'm sure he'll be glad for that kind of complication. Well, just with about a minute left, can you give us a sense of the timing? What are you planning to do the remainder of this year and into 2023? What are your targets? What should people be looking out for?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to push these results out in sort of logical groupings of holes. I expect the next release in the next 2 weeks, another release in maybe late November or early December, given depending on where Thanksgiving and the news flow falls. And then we'll have at least a third news release on drill results in December. Could roll over into early to mid-January, but we're trying to get all the numbers out of the labs, Jay. And that involves a lot of interpretation, a lot of map making and new figures, so people can kind of learn how to put these numbers in context. Each time we report them, we're trying to educate where these things and how they fit together in this jigsaw puzzle of a new discovery at Eureka.
Very good. And we're thankful that you're here to help us understand that on my show as well. Okay, well, we'll have to leave it go at that. It's we're out of time, but thank you very much. I think you've covered the story pretty well in the short time that we have here, Patrick, and I wish you all the best, and I'll be watching very closely in the next couple of weeks for those assays, that's for sure.
Absolutely, Jay. Thank you, and good luck to everyone.